This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
What's happening?
I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. No time to help you.
Across the multiverse, I've seen thousands of Evelyns. You can access all of their memories, their emotions, even their skills. There's a great evil spreading throughout the many-verses. And you may be your only chance of stopping it.
Don't make me fight you. I am really good.
I don't believe you.
Wow, that was really good.
BFM 89.9 at 7:39, and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmila. And sitting in for Arvin today is Michael Chang. And together we are all talking about essentially word of mouth movies and shows. Basically the stuff that you wouldn't have watched if somebody didn't walk up to you and like grip you by the shoulders and go, you must, you simply must. And so we want to hear what the last one was that someone did that for you. But also, what is the thing that you do that to someone else for? I'm mixing up the grammar. Basically, what stuff do you always recommend? We're getting so many messages. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Michael, that was actually your one, although it has also kind of been everyone's, right?
Yeah. It's a quintessential word of mouth movie.
Yeah, I chose that because it was the latest one that got me watching because of good word of mouth. And also because Neil Gaiman himself actually tweeted about it. And I was like, oh no, I gotta watch this movie.
I think actually that's a really great point, right? When we say word of mouth, I was thinking friends and, you know, basically co-hosts sometimes who like push me to watch things. But sometimes it's also just people whose taste we trust, like writers or influencers sometimes. And if they tweet about something, I'm much more likely to say, ooh, this person thinks it's cool, then I might want to watch it. Everything Everywhere All at Once, though, is one of those movies that I think came out, had a lot of buzz, mostly in places like Malaysia, where Michelle Yeoh is kind of a known quantity, but definitely took a lot longer to pick up that kind of steam elsewhere. We reviewed RRR yesterday, and that was a similar thing, where in India and perhaps other Indian diasporic countries, it was huge, but it actually took some time before people outside of these communities started talking about the movies and how great they were.
I think Squid Game was the same thing as well. I mean, I watched Squid Game because people were telling me about it, and then suddenly it became like a huge phenomenon as well.
Can we talk about social media before we go on? Because Everything Everywhere is a little bit different, because yes, it was buzzy on social media, but people also had a lot of very personal, very, very deep reactions to it that they then immediately just wanted to share with somebody else. And also, by the way, Sharmila, when you said known quantity, did you mean icon? Because I think, you know, when I think about Michelle Yeoh here, there is often the sense of it's our girl. It's our girl going out there doing sometimes questionable movies, sometimes great movies, but our girl nonetheless. And so there is definitely that sense of ownership, right? And so with Everything Everywhere, it was like that. But with something like Squid Game, I have to say that before the water cooler stuff got to me, it was actually social media. I kept seeing everybody posting about it. And I think that's kind of a double-edged sword, because when you see something popping on social media, it kind of cuts both ways. On the one hand, it's like, what is everyone talking about? And on the other hand, it's like, do I really want to engage with this? I'm kind of lazy. So I think it it can kind of swing either way.
Yes, I think so. Squid Game for me was exactly that. For a time, there was a bit of saturation and, of course, quite skillfully led by Netflix and their social media campaign, where I saw... So Money Heist is an example of something I've still not watched because of how much social media was happening around the show. But Squid Game, it was kind of the opposite because after a while, I was like, ooh, enough people whose taste I trust have been telling me to watch this that I think I want to check it out.
I think we should define what good word of mouth should be for each of us. Because for me, social media aside, I think when my like-minded friends start talking about something and tell me to watch it, enough of them, my rule of thumb is if more than three of them say it's good, I'll watch it. And rather than some random strangers on social media, right? Because, I mean, you trust your friends more.
I was going to ask, have you ever demoted people off that list because of a bad recommendation?
One of the shows that I actually started watching because of more than three friends telling me they were good was Line of Duty. Well, I got into first season, it was pretty good. Second season, I was like, then third season, I was like, okay, I'm done.
This is the tricky thing with shows, you know, because sometimes people recommend it to you based on the strength of something. And then as you just, you know, while away the hours and chug along, it starts to become clear it's not for you. The question I had, though, is not so much about the three friend rule, but is there somebody whose weightage is the same as three friends? Is there like a person where if this one person says it's good, then you're going to go for it?
Okay.
Well, I've based book recommendation. I've picked up books based on Shamila's recommendations before. So I mean, I would put her in one of my like-minded friends.
Oh, well, I was gonna say, and now this is all just going to sound like we're mutually like complimenting each other. Of course, Arvin and Lynn, because I do this show with them, and I've done this long enough to know that we have similar tastes in many things,
or at least we understand
yes,
one another's
so
taste.
So you'd never recommend something that you know I wouldn't necessarily like. Michael, because you're someone who's been basically writing about entertainment, and we've had so many conversations about. Again, we have similar tastes in many things. So if I see you post about something, then I think I make more of a mental note. So you're right that it doesn't have to be like three friends who are my close friends that I hang out with every day. It just could be people who I know have a good track record of matching my tastes.
A good track record. And I think, so here's the tricky thing about recommendation, right? There's a selfish element to it always, because the whole point of recommending it to somebody is, of course, you want to share the good stuff. You want everyone to know this is really good, you should watch it. But you also want people to watch it so you can talk to them about it. You also want people to watch it so that you can then say in some cases, see?
Yeah, the little bit of self-satisfaction when someone comes back and tells you, oh my God, it was mind-blowing. And you kind of feel like, yeah, I know, I did that.
So all of which to say, it's not a selfless act. And I think that that can then come with its own loadedness, because occasionally when people, no one in this room, but when people push something upon me, I'm like, oh, now I feel obliged to like it almost because you love it too much. And anyway, I'm just saying, recommendations can be tricky.
Yes. Money Heist was that for me, because people were saying, oh, you must watch Money Heist. I'm like, no, I've watched the first season and I didn't like it. Why would you keep telling me to watch it?
What do you do? What do you do if people keep recommending something that you know you won't like, or you've already given it a chance and it didn't work?
I think it's a double-edged sword, because you would have something you like and then people don't like as well. So for me, good word of mouth isn't just about recommending something. It's also about standing up for a movie that you like, that people probably have hated or something like that, or has gotten bad publicity or something like that.
So we've been asking you, basically, what are the shows and films that you have recently heard of and watched because somebody told you to, basically, because someone told you it's really good. And also, what are the ones that you, in turn, always recommend? Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So I wanted to get to some of the messages because there are a lot. So let's start with Ojazz, who says, Everything Everywhere All at Once, easily an unexpected magical experience. I think we've all talked about how much we love that. S says, like, how have you not seen this already? And then it's a poster of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I haven't actually fully watched it because I watched it halfway on a plane and then it was time for landing and I never went back to it. But I've always intended to, because I thought it was a really good film.
I had a similar experience where I was going to watch it and halfway through I got distracted and just couldn't watch it. Because for me, movies, I tend to prefer watching in cinemas. If I watch it at home, I'll be like, oh, too many things to do. Oh, bye.
And now with Ezra Miller, a bit tough.
This is what I was going to say. That sometimes you have to catch a recommendation at a very particular moment. Vela Rezi says, I watched The Conjuring in the cinema because my friends were raving about it. I'll also always recommend Jojo Rabbit and Get Out.
Those are such great word-of-mouth recommendations. Both Jojo Rabbit and Conjuring I only watch because people highly recommend it. Get Out, because of the buzz that accompanied it, I watched it when it came out. But Conjuring is a great suggestion.
How do we feel about... So I think horror recommendations are also very much their own beast, especially if you're going to recommend that it be watched in a cinema, because there is something... There's something about laughing together. There's also something about jumping together or sitting in silence together and going, oh no, the doll is there. And so the horror recommendation actually comes with its own specific expectation, because you also need to know more than the other genres whether somebody likes horror or not.
I always ask the person recommending horror to me, can I watch it on my own in an empty house?
I've heard this. Yeah. You have asked
if
this.
If I cannot, please don't tell me to watch it because I will not.
Sharmila knows enough of me not to recommend horror movies to me because that is one genre that I don't watch at all.
So I have an internal ticker when it comes to horror, because I know some people, for example, can't handle supernatural horror but can do slasher. Other people can't do slasher but then are okay with monsters. So you know, you kind of have to veer the horror recommendation depending on appetite. Hansen says, Game of Thrones was a show that I watched because of the amount of hype and discussions it sparked on the internet back then. Since I can be quite picky about shows and movies, a show I would always recommend is Dark on Netflix. It's one of the most beautifully written shows I've ever watched. Aduna also says, my recommendation is Netflix's Dark in the original German.
We've gotten a lot of people messaging in about Dark.
Yeah.
And I fully acknowledge we missed the boat when it first came out. We kind of have it in mind for like a stuff we missed at some point. But that's one show I've heard so much about.
Another show that I was recommended was Severance. Severance was so good because it was just... People just kept telling me, it's about this office. You go inside and you forget things and you blah, blah, blah. And that, what kind of movie is that? But more people just kept recommending to it. So I decided, well, I'm done with COVID. I'm in quarantine. I might as well just watch this.
You watch Severance while you're in quarantine. That's a brave choice. I love it, but that's a brave choice.
A tough choice, some might say. Keep those thoughts coming. We're talking today about word of mouth films and shows. Basically, the stuff that you watch because somebody runs up to you and says, you simply must. And also the thing that you, in turn, always recommend to others. We want to know both. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, I'm going to be very smug indeed. A recommendation that I made to Sharmila. I don't know. I think it's a really, really lovely film. It is a recent Armando Iannucci retelling of David Copperfield. Here we go.
Whether I turn out to be the hero of my own story, or whether that station will be held by anybody else, these moments must show. My boyhood days seem now like a scarcely believable fiction.
London is full of wonders and wickedness.
And it's ours, David, to go wherever we choose.
I'm David Copperfield. I'm your nephew. You're the only family I have.
You had nothing, then you had something, and now you got nothing again. So stands to right, you'll have something again.
But this narrative is far more than mere fiction. It is, in fact, written memory.
And you'll have quite the ride on the way.
Building Fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:53 and you're listening to Supercut with Lynn, Sharmila and Michael. And together we're talking about word of mouth shows and films. Just the stuff that people tell you you need to watch and then the stuff that you recommend to others, we want to know. So that is the theme song to Peaky Blinders. And Peaky Blinders is a show that I've been hearing about for years, not least from my partner who has been going on and on about it, who attempts to get that sort of 1930s Birmingham gangster haircut every other month and it never works. Sorry, was that too personal? But my point is that Peaky Blinders has been something I've heard about so much and I resisted it for years. I started watching it and oh my Lord, is it good.
I've heard of Peaky Blinders for ages. Also, I kind of pride myself on having watched every single thing Cillian Murphy's done. So I feel a bit like I'm being a betrayer by not having watched it yet. It is on my list of things that many notable people have recommended to me and I want to start watching. And I guess now is a great time because the series is done, right? So I don't have to like wait for the next season. Definitely something I'm going to start watching very soon, especially since now Lynn has also started pushing it onto me.
Join the choir.
Peaky Blinders is one that I have also gotten a lot of recommendations for and then I've always wanted to watch. But like you said, there's always another season and another season. And sometimes when there's too many seasons, you kind of hesitate to start because you don't really want to spend too much time on it. So that's another reason why sometimes when people recommend stuff to me, I don't really watch it yet until maybe, it's ending, and I got to watch it before people spoil the season finale for me.
I've still managed not to have Breaking Bad spoiled for me because I've still not watched it. And it's still on my list of things so many people have recommended. And nobody better send in any spoilers. I'll just say that
I don't think people will. Breaking Bad fans understand.
Thank you.
It's easy to spoil, but if you know, you know. You're not going to spoil it. So I wanted to just briefly say, because we don't have that much time on this side of things, that the tricky thing about something like Peaky Blinders is that the appeal is difficult to quantify. It's a very handsome show. I'm not just saying that because of Cillian Murphy. It's a very handsomely made show. The set production's great. And yet it's also very dark. It's also a gangster show, but not really. It's a show about power, but not really. It's a historical drama, but not really. And so because of all these things, I think I personally found it hard to generically understand Peaky Blinders and therefore to understand what mood I would need to be in order to watch it. And I think that can be quite a tricky thing when it comes to recommendations. The mood and genre match, especially when the show is not really about a guy in the 1920s. It's not really, it is about a guy. It's not really about a gangster. It's about more than that.
So people talk about Peaky Blinders in the same way they talk about The Sopranos and The Wire. To me, the tone is the same, right? Because these shows are supposedly a particular genre, but actually then end up being about so much more that I feel like fans don't want to ruin it for you, but they want you to watch it so badly, but they also can't tell you the things about it that make it great, which is kind of one of those things where like, it's the quintessential, no, you must watch it, but I cannot tell you why, which makes it both enticing and difficult for an outsider to decide, I will watch it immediately.
I think that applies to a lot of TV series, especially the ones with a lot of seasons, because once you reach the first season is great, and then the second season, they start developing a bit more of the plot, more of the characters. It gets so deep. That's another reason why until now I've not started Stranger Things, because I've heard so much about it, so many spoilers about it, but I don't want it to ruin my experience as well now. So I'm afraid that if I watch it now, it's like, oh, this is it.
So our next clip is actually going to be of Kubo and the Two Strings. And I think that Kubo is a pretty... Firstly, Laika doesn't get enough shine in general. And also they make movies they make movies very slowly. So it makes it difficult to recommend them as a studio. But Sharmila and I were talking about how, weirdly, animation's a bit of a blind spot for us, that it's something that we need people to recommend or we kind of miss it.
Yes, other than Disney or Pixar, which is kind of a no-brainer and has these huge cinema releases, something like Kubo or even an animated show that I recently watched that I loved, Mitchell versus the Machines, I feel like you need someone to tell you to watch it before I decide to watch it.
I'm a huge animation fan. I watch all the Pixar movies. I watch all the Disney movies. I watch anything that Laika comes out with. And every time somebody asks me what my favorite movies to recommend, I usually end up recommending an animated movie. My favorites are probably the ones that I know people hardly ever watch, are Iron Giant, Kubo and the Two Strings, Coraline. And when it comes to series, there's Arcane. Arcane was one that I didn't watch at first, because I didn't play League of Legends, and I thought, oh, it's just another based on the game. But everybody just kept recommending it to me, so I watched it and was blown away. That was a really, really good movie. Very, really good series.
I have thoughts about Arcane, because it's also been something we get recommended a lot. We'll come back to that. We're talking today about word of mouth films and shows, the stuff that people just tell you you have to watch and then you watch it and it's great, and also the stuff that you often recommend to others. WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio with your thoughts. In the meantime, here's a bit of Kubo and the Two Strings.
If you must blink, do it now. Pay careful attention to everything you see, no matter how unusual it may seem. If you look away, even for an instant, then our hero will surely perish. It is time to follow my own path. My name is Kubo. This is my story.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Hello, my name is Mark S. And I have, of my own free accord, elected to undergo the procedure known as severance. I give consent to sever my memories between my work life and my personal life. I acknowledge that once the procedure is complete, I will be unable to access my personal memories whilst on the severed floor.
Say gratitude.
Nor will I retain work memories.
Hey!
Sorry, when I return home at the end of the day. I make these statements freely.
BFM 89.9, it is 8:09 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture Supercut with Lynn, Sharmila and Michael. And that is Severance, which we've all seen and I think basically all got recommended, right? That was definitely the pathway for the show.
For me, no. It popped
you
up.
You recommended
on,
it
yes,
to
I
me.
Yes, I know. I was just going to say, Lynn and Arvin were not the biggest fans, so I feel I'm glad Michael's here with us today. But no, I watched it because it just randomly popped up on Apple TV. And I thought, oh, this concept sounds interesting. So for me, it wasn't word of mouth. But definitely since I started watching it, I've been pushing it onto people with a little bit of warning that it's not the happiest of shows.
Same thing here, because I got it from word of mouth. People were telling me it was good, but the premise just didn't capture me until, like I said, I watched it in quarantine. But after that, after I finished the whole season in like one night, I was like, I need to tell people about this, to watch it so I can talk about it.
I love the show and I cannot believe you watched it in one night, because that show like weighs on you.
It was gripping enough I was in quarantine, so I didn't have anything else to do.
So. Michael, the more you say I was in quarantine and I watched Severance, the more I feel my mind spiraling out, you know? It's a tough watch. It really is. I get that it's gripping and I agree, but I watched, I think, depending on how things went, 1 to 2 episodes a night as we led up to the review, and I did feel like it was a lot.
Like you were trapped in an office that you couldn't escape?
Or did I know that I was there? Because that's the whole question.
Or an or an apartment you couldn't get out of because you were stuck in quarantine.
Maybe that's why you could watch it in one night. I feel like it made it worthwhile. I was going to say, though, I think Severance, like Everything Everywhere, is probably a great recent example of a show that really very few people were paying attention to until the word of mouth. And the weekly drop, I think, also helped a lot because it kept building up the what is actually going on with these people? What is the mystery at the heart of it? I watched it weekly, so I was very much part of the going into forums and seeing what theories people had. And I think that's kind of a cool experience to be part of.
So we are talking today, in case it's not yet clear, about word of mouth movies and shows, just the stuff that people recommend to you or that you only watched really because someone recommended it to you. And what conversely is the thing that you also always recommend? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have so many recommendations coming in. And I did want to do this one from Yorak, who says, I tell people straight up when I don't like something and now no one recommends me anything. I don't even know what I like anymore. Do you have any recommendations? Lol. To which I would have said, hello, we are Popcorn Culture and we are findable on any good podcast streaming app.
With new recommendations every week.
Every single week. But then Yorak says, lol, I don't like Peaky Blinders. And I'm like, you know what? I see why maybe people don't recommend you things. It's a good show. But Yorak also says, Arcane was amazing and I cried.
Michael, you referenced Arcane earlier. For me, it was 100% word of mouth. Same, I didn't think I'd find anything in it because I don't play League of Legends. But then the people who were recommending it to me were also not gamers, right?
That's crucial.
Yeah, Dash recommended it to me. Arvin recommended it to me. And then a bunch of people started talking about what a great show it was. Now I've become one of the converts. I push it on to anyone. Arcane is so great.
What's your criteria for recommending something? I mean, you do this for a job, I know. But then for a movie that you really want to recommend to somebody, for me, it would be one, because I need somebody to talk to about it.
Big one. That's a big one.
Two, because I think that movie deserves a lot more buzz. And three, maybe it's been unfairly maligned because for me personally, a big pet peeve is The Last Jedi. Why do people not like it so much?
The Last Jedi? Wait, which one's The Last Jedi?
The second movie, the Rian Johnson one.
Oh, sure. Yes. 100%. Why do people dislike it so much?
You were hesitating because of Tross. Rise of Skywalker.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, wait, do we have the wrong person
they
on the show?
They all have the titles. They all have the same titles. This is what happens.
Yes. Last Jedi deserves a lot more shine. My personal reason for recommending, I think, is a sort of a combination of the things you said. Sometimes I just want something to have more shine than it does. Severance is definitely one of those. Arcane, I'm on this like journey now to get everyone I know to watch it. And then sometimes I think it's just like, it's nice to have the kind of content you like making a big splash because then more of that content gets made.
So it's very much the same. I will say that when it comes to something like Arcane, it gets me to my point where sometimes a recommendation is something that you can enjoy emotionally only when you're in a certain state or state of mind, I guess. And it is nonetheless something that you can enjoy intellectually. And so for me, Arcane has actually fallen into that category. Everyone's saying it's so beautiful, it's so deep, the characters are so interesting. I agree. I get all of that. I've made it up to, I think, episode, I want to say 3 or 4.
Oh, I didn't know you'd started watching it.
Yeah, but like 2 months ago.
Right.
And then I stopped. And that's got mostly to do with the fact that it's a more intellectual enjoyment than I want, than I think the story warrants. So I'm just giving it a bit of time. And maybe, you know, someday when you're in the mood, you return to it. And that's kind of a nice thing also about recommendations is building up a stockpile from people you trust, because then you know, okay, maybe this one really is, it's me. And I think being able to recognize when it's you and not the thing that's being recommended is also an important part of being a good receiver of recommendations.
I had that with Community. People had been recommending it to me for years, watched an episode here and there, never warmed up to it. And then during the first MCO, I think, Arvin and Lynn were like, you have to watch Community. They were making in-jokes and I felt very left out. And so like I blazed through it and suddenly I was like, oh, I love the show. But I never loved it before. So I think, yeah, sometimes you just need to get to it at the right time.
I will go back to Arcane. I just need time.
Arcane is the type of show where you think you know it what it is, but it turns out to be something else. So when you recommend it to somebody, you have to actually include a caveat that, oh, it's not actually a cartoon.
Mm.
It's not a kid's cartoon.
Or it's not anime, and therefore you have to watch it with that frame. So it's something quite different.
Yeah, and that stuff actually only becomes clear, I think, a little ways into the first episode, because the opening sequence, if you don't know much, right, and if you don't play the game and all that, if you go in, the opening sequence is actually quite kiddie before it becomes really, really unkiddie. And so yeah, it takes a while to adjust your frame. So if we go back to the recommendations, which, by the way, keep them coming, we'd like to hear from you. What is something that you only watched because someone you trusted told you this is really, really good? And what is the thing that you always recommend to others? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. A pair of messages saying The Boys. So William and Sleight of Hand both say The Boys. Sleight of Hand adds Hereditary, which, ooh. So I haven't seen Hereditary. I'm not a huge horror person. I'm probably not going to. But The Boys.
Hereditary, I've also not watched again, you know, aversion to horror. The Boys for me was 100% word of mouth. A couple of people that I really, take seriously kept telling me I had to watch it. I love it. I still recommend it to people now.
That and Peacemaker as well.
Yes, very similar vibe, yeah.
Peacemaker is a real word of mouth one. And I think that one has a lot to do, unfortunately, with the DC universe not always getting it right, frankly, not always getting the tone right. And the other thing is maybe people not necessarily knowing, I was going to say underestimate, but I think it's more accurate to say people don't know how to estimate John Cena's acting.
I also think that the oversaturation of superhero stuff.
Yeah.
So I was not interested in The Boys because I thought yet another superheroes. I felt the same thing about Invincible, which turned out to be amazing.
Oh, so good.
But again, initially not particularly interested because too much superhero. So yeah, I think a recommendation for something like that actually really helps.
Those are shows that you really have to put a disclaimer that it is not what you expect. Yes, it's a superhero movie, but if you watch The Boys, you'll be like, what is this? This is not Superman.
Yes, certainly not.
Patrick says Netflix's Kingdom, specifically season one, Kingdom season one, yeah.
So that's, I think, again, a great example of something that if you had been saturated by zombie stuff, you'd never watch it. And then
it's very good, though.
And then you watch it. And I was like that. I watch it. I'm like, ooh, it's not just zombies. It's like history and stuff.
Oh, this is an Arvin and I recommendation as well. Yes. I'm suddenly remembering. Ameem7 says movies from Christopher Nolan. So this, I assume, is a recommendation, as in it's something that they recommend to others, not necessarily one that they only watch because of word of mouth. Because at this point, I think Chris Nolan has passed beyond the art house indie movement.
No, I think, though, if you go back to something like The Prestige, that did as well as it did because of word of mouth. It flopped in the cinemas and then went on to, I think it's the best.
It's
Nolan.
His best.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
I think it's because when he started getting big after the Batman movies and Inception, people started going back to his movies like Memento and The Prestige. So people started talking about those movies because they had already watched the big movies. So they went back to the old ones and started recommending it to people as well.
Emmy Bubbly says, The Offer, that show about the making of The Godfather, is so good.
Ooh, I'd stayed away from that because I just felt like it might be cashing in. But you're not the first person to recommend it.
Is that... Okay, do you have to... When you recommend something to it, do you actually say, okay, this is a big blockbuster that people might have liked it but or may not have liked, but I'm going to recommend it anyway? Because a lot of times, like you said, when you see a superhero movie, you have this perception that it's going to be like Avengers or Justice League, but then it turns out differently. So does it have to be something that's unknown, or can you recommend a blockbuster as a word of mouth movie?
Oh, that's a good question. I think if it's a blockbuster that isn't what you think it's going to be, like if there was suddenly a brilliant Fast movie, you know, I'd welcome the word of mouth recommendation. Like if suddenly they went completely left field and it's like peak blockbuster amazingness.
So I think sometimes, right, even though, so for example, The Batman is something that if I didn't do this show, I might not have watched on my own. And that's an oversaturation problem. It's got nothing to do with Robert Pattinson, whom I actually quite enjoy as an actor. It really had to do with, okay, how many Batmans are we going to do? How many versions of the villains are there going to be? I'm kind of sick of Gotham. You know, at some point, let it burn. And so I might have ignored the Batman, if not, again, for the fact that we do the show, it's a huge release. I had to watch it. But that one had a lot of word of mouth, partly because you needed people, I think, to start telling you, actually, it's different. Actually, it's kind of more of a crime movie. It's actually more of a serial killer seven type approach as opposed to the traditional superhero, you know, Joel Schumacher approach to things. So I think you need that kind of word of mouth, which is different.
A lot of it just has to do with people have limited bandwidth and limited time, right? So when you've got to start narrowing down the things you want to watch, a recommendation helps. And a recommendation helps you, like, add an extra point to something and decide, like, okay, maybe Squid Game because, like, four different people told me it's great.
I think Top Gun falls into that category as well because the Maverick, the latest one, because, I mean, it is a huge blockbuster. It's Tom Cruise. But would you have watched it if 100 people had not told you it is so good? Because the word of mouth about that movie was really, really strong.
Yeah.
And the cinema run literally got extended because people were annoyed that the run ended so early. And that had to do with word of mouth as well.
Actually, that's a really good example because on its own, I think when you first heard that a sequel was coming out, it's kind of like, ah, this guy and his action sequels, he can't seem to stop. And then you watch it and you're like, never stop, you know, keep running, keep flying, keep doing your Tom Cruise things, because Top Gun Maverick is such a great cinematic experience. It's one of the good ones of this year. Rowan says, I always recommend Tropic Thunder to the BFM Popcorn Culture team. Ahem, ahem. Rowan, we tried. There was a recent throwback. We were ready to do it and then it had to get moved. We are ready. We're ready. We can quote it now. We can reenact it if you want.
If I may say, I actually just watched it over the weekend because it was playing in a hotel I was at. I was so happy. I'm going to push for it. I'm going to talk about Tropic Thunder at some point.
Isotonic. I could quote it. Rowan, you want me to reenact? I'll do it. Okay, Rowan goes on to say, in hindsight, I recommend The Campaign more and I wish that there were more people I could laugh with. I could laugh about it with. In general, I'm pretty sure how the film or show would turn out and would seek out recommendations if the ratings are different than what I predicted. The one film that was very far off from my expectation was Twilight, the first one. Someone recommended it and it was probably the biggest laugh fest I had in the cinema. Another one was Highland Tower, Malaysian made, supposed to be horror, but you know, partly because the person recommended it based on the movie poster. Rowan also goes on to say, I think one of the most impactful animated films I've seen based on a recommendation is Grave of the Fireflies. I didn't believe my friend when he said you will cry, but man, the waterworks were full on and I could never watch it again. Go watch it.
Rowan, I will say though, that while I love Grave of the Fireflies to pieces, I'm very hesitant to recommend it to people.
I
don't know if everyone is ready when I say it will make you cry. I feel like you'll not understand the depths to which it will make you cry until you watch it. So I usually like say it's great, you have to watch it, but make sure you're in the right space.
I think when you recommend it something to somebody, you have to know who that somebody is and what they like. Because if you recommend a horror movie to me, I'll be like, no. And one of the movies that I recommend to friends who I know love music is Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that one, I tell them, if you love music, if you like watching movies, watch that movie because they do everything based on the music that they use. And that is a good movie that I would recommend as well.
Man, the premise of that movie was based on a music video, right? That Edgar Wright directed.
Oh, yes,
so,
of course.
Yeah, it's very much, very, very much music based. Let's see. I think we've got time for one more before I'm going to let Sharmila talk about something I haven't seen. So Loke says, Silence of the Lambs, Forrest Gump and Transformers, the movie 1986. They have been in my top 10 list since I was a kid and they've not been dethroned yet. To which I would like to know, Loke, when did you watch Silence of the Lambs? Because since I was a kid, you say. And I just want to know when you watched that.
I know. And then at what point did you start recommending it?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, hey. Such questions.
Never mind Silence of the Lambs. Transformers, the movie in 1986. The best Transformers movie ever made, period.
I haven't watched it.
I will recommend that to any Transformers fan. If you have not watched it, you are not a true Transformers fan.
There we are, Sharmila.
The gauntlet is thrown.
Yeah, we've been told.
Yeah.
We've gotten told. All right. Keep those thoughts coming. We'd like to hear from you. What is something that you watched recently, or anytime really, a show, a film, basically because someone told you it was great. It was a recommendation, word of mouth. And what is the thing that you in turn always recommend? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before our next clip, Sharmila, you want to explain?
Firstly, I'd like to credit our colleague in the Bigger Picture team, Juliet Jacobs, for twisting my arm to watch this. And then Arvind did the same. And I've also been talking about how much I don't like horror, and yet Midnight Mass, I tell you, is probably one of the best TV shows I've watched in the last couple of years. And that's because it does horror in this like slow burn, creeping way, and then uses it to address all sorts of existential themes. It's such a good show. It's so creepy, but it's such a good show.
We tend to dislike mysteries. You feel uncomfortable not knowing. The more that we know, the less we bend, the more brittle we become, the easier to break.
It's okay to just look at the world and say, why, I don't understand. Why?
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Every pirate captain captains pirates differently. Traditionally, piracy is a culture of abuse. And my thought is, why can't one be a gentleman tender pirate? We're swashbuckling. Let's have fun with it.
This is how you die.
Is you supposed to be?
I'm Steed.
He's a gentleman pirate.
You're an idiot.
So he's a fancy man with a fancy ship.
Hi all.
He travels with a brigade of imbeciles. Do I have that right?
Completely unprofessional.
Fascinating.
BFM 89.9. It is 8:29 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture Supercut with Lynn, Sharmila and Michael. We are asking you for your thoughts today because we're talking about word of mouth recommendations. Basically, what are the things that you watched because somebody told you you simply must? And what are the recommendations that you often give to others? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And for those of you who haven't yet, watch Our Flag Means Death. For those of you who have, and have not yet heard the good news, there will be a season two. Okay, now let's discuss.
Oh, bless. I was hoping there would be. Okay, Taika Waititi is in Our Flag Means Death, which in itself is a great reason to watch it. It's such a fun, campy, surprisingly, like, touching show. Is Taika, though, just the king of word of mouth? Because other than, like, the Thor movies, every single thing that he's done or been in literally live and die through, like, people talking about it and just, like, pushing it on others.
Yeah, I think Taika Waititi, I would watch anything with Taika Waititi in it and whatever he directs. But yeah, it's not, he's not the most popular of directors. Well, if you discount the Thor movies. But yeah, people just, I think some people just don't get him. But some people just get him all the way. But some people just like, huh? What kind of humor is this?
It's a very specific flavor, right? I think the thing about can you be a humor author? Is that a thing?
I think he's just invented it.
Right? No, because the thing about a Taika Waititi movie is, firstly, there's a slightly sweeted quality that comes in from time to time. If you think about like what we do in The Shadows, for example. But that also could have been the constraints of budget. I don't know. You know, the man has Disney money now. But the particular flavor of a Taika Waititi movie, I think, is the humor. And the humor is also a very, very specific form. It's not slapstick, nor is it kind of British wit. It kind of falls in the middle, and it's got that peculiar, well, Antipodean style to it. There's no other way to put it.
I was going to say he's just very Kiwi.
He is, yeah.
So, okay, I've actually talked to Taika Waititi. I interviewed
Look
him
at
for
Michael, the... Michael. All right, all right.
I interviewed him for the Love and Thunder, which never came here, which is awesome, by the way. And he said that for him, comedy is a way for him to disarm the audience, just to get them off guard and then send in the serious message after that. I mean, he makes people laugh and then, so look, I'm talking about this instead.
And Our Flag Means Death is actually exactly that, because it's funny and super weird, but then it has these like really great, important messages about inclusivity, diversity, love, which I think would be perhaps a little bit more difficult to put across were it not couched in this zany way.
I mean, that's also what we do in the shadows, everything, inclusivity, love, acceptance. But I think that with Taika, I will just say that for me, at least, I think the ultimate Marmite or Vegemite test of Taika Waititi is Jojo Rabbit. Because really, it's one or the other. Either you're okay with there being humour and Nazis in one film, in a very particular form.
And someone dressed as Hitler.
Yes. Not someone. Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi dressed as Hitler, yes.
And speaking as Hitler.
I was trying not to spoil, but it's in the poster.
I mean, it's right there. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you're not sure whether Taika is for you or not, Jojo Rabbit is probably the one, isn't it?
Yes. And I think we had someone talking about Jojo Rabbit earlier as a word of mouth. It's 100% a word of mouth movie.
Well, until it got nominated for the Oscar.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
and
true.
Now it's a whole other thing. Okay. If we look at the messages, which, by the way, keep them coming. What do you recommend? What do people recommend to you? Bong says, I started to watch Stranger Things because of the review from you guys on Popcorn Culture. Well, Bong, I'm not the hugest fan, but I'm glad that you're catching it. Lena says, I would say John Wick and Breaking Bad. John Wick, I recommend to everyone I know. I'm an avid Keanu fan. But when I ask people to watch his movies, some won't agree because I am such an avid fan. But John Wick made everybody crazy and into it. And yes, Breaking Bad. Everyone recommended it, so I watched and it was great.
Actually, with now being at John Wick 3 and a potential John Wick 4.
Definitely,
right?
A John Wick 4, yeah.
You forget how much of a lightning in a bottle the first John Wick was, because Keanu was sort of on a downturn. Everyone was like, what? This guy's going to do some like assassin horror, like action movie? What is this supposed to be? And then it exploded, right? So yeah, I do think that we forget how much John Wick relied on word of mouth when it first came out.
Even The Matrix was like that. I mean, nobody knew about The Matrix.
Yes.
And this was pre-internet
era. And no one knew the Wachowskis.
This was before the internet. And then The Matrix came out. Everybody just started talking about it. So I think the internet has also influenced us a lot because of the whole social media thing. It's easier to spread the word about a movie now. Whereas at the time, at those pre-internet times, you were, what, The Matrix? What is this?
Mm. I went to school and told my friends in class about The Matrix. And I was all like, guys, we must ask our parents to take us to go watch this again.
Did you do the thing? Did you do the bullet thing?
No, because I was very cognizant of spoilers, so of course not.
Right, fair enough. So Legion says, I watched The Matrix because it was parodied in a university play and often featured in a beer commercial. So that's one way of word of mouth. Legion also says, are hit songs a version of this? Because if so, I nominate Pretty Woman. And then, ironically enough, the song that Legion's referencing is Roxette, It Must Have Been Love, which I think is kind of amazing because I would have thought Roy Orbison.
No, yes. What a contrast in tone as well.
I know. And then Legion goes on to say, Once Were Warriors, I recommend to people who want to migrate to New Zealand, lest they're fooled by the magical green imagery from Lord of the Rings, movies that were recommended to me so that I could understand a country's turbulent history better, Rabbit Proof Fence, The Stolen Generation, City of Sadness, The White Terror. To people who hated Pearl Harbor because it was American grandstanding, I recommend Torah, Torah, Torah. It offers both Japanese and American viewpoints leading up to the attacks on Pearl Harbor. Followed by, who wants to recommend Matki Lao to tourists now that we're trying to open borders? I wouldn't. I would recommend all the Yasmin Ahmad Petronas ads instead and Ola Bola. I'd recommend Joe's Apartment to people who love musicals. Imagine sentient cockroaches singing about mold, toilets and love. I'd rather not, Legion, but thank you for that. And also for people who hate the live action Lion King and want realistic series about lion prides, I recommend Nat Geo's Savage Kingdom. Instead of the kindly, grandfatherly voice of Sir David Attenborough, we get the authoritative voice of Tywin Lannister, I mean Charles Dance.
Ooh, that's a nice touch that I didn't expect. Who wants to watch the live action of Lion King anyway? I mean,
kids these days.
Nat Geo, yes, but then also just watch the animated one.
Yeah, I just watch the animated ones. Frankly speaking, all the live action films, don't bother with them. Just watch the animated films.
The opposite of word of mouth, like the retraction of word of mouth with all the live action Disneys.
We had, I'm looking for it. Okay. I'm sorry, I lost that message. There are so many. Oh, okay. Ken Ling says, since John Wick is mentioned, Taken also was famous for being popularized by word of mouth.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that one line of dialogue.
People forget, until you watch Taken now, and the thing comes up and you realize that you don't recognize any of the studios involved, people forget how much of a weird
when we did the throwback production.
Yeah, exactly.
When we did the throwback, we're like, oh, this is like a weird European action film.
It's not a Hollywood thing. It's actually like a small, many, many funders European production thing. And yeah, it and then now we're at like Taken 75. You know, his grandkids are being taken. Ziyang says, Westworld, must watch. The series, by the way, not the film, makes us question our existence. Truly mind-blowing and philosophical.
Ooh, I don't know if I thought of Westworld as word of mouth, because HBO did such a big
blitz. I think this is a recommendation.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Oh, then for sure. Especially the first season, which I think is great.
I think word of mouth has been over-exaggerated this time because, like I said, like the internet has made it so much easier to get recommendations. But do you remember the first time you heard about The Matrix, or the first time you heard about the Ghostbusters or something like that, when all you had was a poster in the cinema and then some friend from Standard 3 watched it and decided to tell you, go watch Ghostbusters because they're so cool. That's word of mouth for me. I mean, social media is it's easy stuff.
So when I think of word of mouth, actually, I think it's a amalgamation of everything, right? Because one tweet does not word of mouth make. Instead, it's when you keep seeing it come up over and over again. And I always find it interesting when people bring up different things. So if someone is saying, you have to watch this because this person's performance was really good, I mean, that counts for something, especially if I like the actor. But I often pay more attention when people recommend things and all the recommendations are for different reasons, or many of them are for different reasons, because that promises a rich experience.
We played David Copperfield earlier, and that's exactly one of those for me, because I already like Dave Patel as an actor, and I feel like post Slumdog, he's made really interesting choices. And then, of course, it's a Charles Dickens adaptation. And then I kept hearing about the cast, a race blind casting, and I was curious about how it would turn out. People were posting about it, and then Lynn kept telling me how great it was. I love Armando Iannucci. So it's like, it is true that like these little bits of information like feed into something becoming a, maybe I'll watch to a, okay, I have to try and watch this when I can.
I think, my rule of thumb of three friends still stands, but if there's one friend who usually doesn't watch a genre or doesn't watch a show like that and suddenly starts recommending it to me, then maybe I'll take notice as well, because let's say a friend who's never watched anime suddenly tells me to watch No Name, I loved it so much. Okay, I might give it a chance.
Speaking of Dev Patel, Addy Wu says, recent watch because of word of mouth, The Man Who Knew Infinity, Lion and The White Tiger. So 2 out of 3.
Oh, yes. 2 Dev Patel. All of those are actually really great films. White Tiger in particular, I think, could do with more word of mouth.
Is it the best Netflix movie? I'm trying to remember whether it's my favorite Netflix original film. It's somewhere up there. I think it's a very good film.
It's not Spiderhead. We know that.
How dare you? How dare you speak for me in this way, Shamila? We have not spoken off air about this. I trusted you. All right. What else do we have? Casey says, Ozark. I recommend it for the great acting. Jason Bateman, Julia Garner and Laura Linney.
Oh, I've not watched. But yes, I've heard many people who are huge fans.
We also have, let's see, Vivigan, who says, I usually avoid watching anything less than 3 seasons long, but I made an exception for Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun because a friend wouldn't shut up about it. It's an absolute gem of a show.
Oh, I wonder why that 3-season rule. I'd be curious to hear. Because mine's almost the opposite. I'm very hesitant about anything longer than 3 seasons because I'm like, do I want to commit to 6 seasons of something?
I have that exact problem with a lot of the anime that people recommend me. Like people are saying, oh, you must watch Demon Slayer. And I watched it and it was great. But 3 seasons in, it's not done yet. I have to wait for it. And I had to go and read the manga because I wanted to know what happened next. And that completely just ruined the anime for me now.
Nathaniel says, a friend recommended that I give In Bruges a try. And to this day, several of its silly quotes still live in my head rent-free. So Martin McDonagh is a very specific flavor, right? We spoke about Taika earlier, but if you want caustic humor or caustic man humor in some instances, I mean, Martin McDonagh is hard to beat.
And if you talk about Taika having that peculiarly Antipodean flavour,
yeah.
I think he has a... I don't even know if he's actually European.
He's Irish, I think.
Ah, yeah. Right. So he has that sort of like dark Irish slash, you know, British humour, which I love.
Well, speaking of stupid quotes living in your head rent-free, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Watch it and laugh and... feel stupid after that, but laugh again and watch it again.
And word of mouth for decades at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Word of mouth, actually, you know, the quotable thing is also kind of a word of mouth thing.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you start making ridiculous jokes that only make sense to you, even if you're at a table of 10 people and people go like, what is wrong with you? And then you get to say, here's what's wrong with me, make it wrong with you. It's like Princess Bride.
Yes, yes, the Inigo Montoya line,
yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or even pivot. And if someone hasn't watched Friends at this point, then you're going to tell them to go look it up on YouTube.
And then there's one friend who recognizes this quote and then, yes, I watched it as well. And then you'll be like, yes, I'm justified.
Or if it's a stranger that you were like at a party, suddenly you're like, oh, I think we can be friends.
Dangerous. Sometimes you cannot. No, I'm just
speaking
the truth.
One quote a good friend does not make.
This is true. I'm speaking from experience, friends, you know. A shared movie taste is not a friendship. What else do we have? Aduna says, one more, Happy Valley, waiting for season 3, not showing anywhere right now, but try was what was typed. Wan Xiang says, a safe recommendation is the most boring recommendation sometimes because they play it so safe it's bland. I say that, but some good Disney movies are very hard to deny that they're good, like WALL-E, Toy Story 2, but most people watch all of them anyway. Red Shaw Redemption is an easy recommendation. Nobody will hate it. Pan's Labyrinth. I think the trick here is to recommend something that seems like an art house, but also can be blockbuster mainstreamish. And they also have to withstand the test of time. Basically, movies with no haters, which are not a lot. When it comes to Chinese movies, it's easier to recommend because they're not that well marketed here. Here are a few that are so good, there are literally no haters. Better Days, I Am Not Madame Bovary. The Last Wish, Sheep Without a Shepherd, is also a very easy recommendation to Malaysians because it is directed by a Malaysian Sam Kwa. For the boys, I'm a hardcore DC fan, so the story is kind of overplayed, but the show is still good. Invincible is a better story. So a number of good ones there. I will say, though, that I rarely recommend things that have no haters because part of the fun is in talking about whether you hate or don't hate. I feel like it's a failure if I recommend something and you nothing it.
Right. Like, isn't that the worst reaction? That they're just like, it was okay.
It was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. I agree. I think most of my recommendations would be... I mean, I agree with Wan Xiang, right? Like, you want to challenge the person you're recommending just a little bit.
Oh, well, I heard WALL-E and I was just completely distracted because that's one movie. That's one movie I will wholeheartedly recommend to anybody, whether they like animation or not, because that is one of my favorite movies ever. One TV show that I will recommend, but I'm very upset it wasn't continued, is Pushing Daisies.
I never watched Pushing Daisies.
It was such a good show. The concept was weird. It was quirky. It was funny. But they stopped it and there was a cliffhanger. So sometimes I just hesitate to recommend it as well. So that's the problem with TV series for me as well.
I'm struggling to remember that show about that girl who lives near a waterfall who has photos talking to her.
What?
Does nobody get this? It was in the same era as Pushing Daisies and got cancelled also after a season. And I'm not making it sound great, but it was great. So, all right, let's move on. Everyone's just looking at me.
And Firefly. Come on, Firefly.
Yeah.
So I was going to say Firefly was one of those shows that I love, but I cannot recommend because, you know, it kind of came to this weird end. The show just got cancelled. And then, of course, there's Serenity, but it doesn't really complete the story and it's a whole thing. But Firefly is great if you can deal with the open end.
Waterfall show TV doesn't show anything. So
yeah, I don't know.
We'll
have to look this up.
Yeah, we'll come back. Kelvin says, Weird City. Come on, everyone watch Scary Movie in Malaysia from word of mouth. So, yep. Speaking of scary movies, Madhav says, Get Out is a movie that I would not have watched if not for word of mouth, which we talked about earlier. Patricia says, I'd recommend The Shawshank Redemption. And The Shawshank Redemption, The Usual Suspects, Fight Club, Seven, Sixth Sense. No recent movies have surpassed their twist. On a lighter note, most recent recommendation would be Free Guy.
Ooh, Free Guy is a good one. I mean, to be fair, I'm not sure. Maybe that was one of the better Netflix original releases, no?
Yeah, Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And I think it's really a great movie to recommend because it's kind of like fun without being too high investment.
Free Guy was the one with Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yes, yeah. In a video game.
No, but it was a cinema show.
Oh, it was. That's true. Yeah.
Also had Taika.
This is true.
Who's become a little bit of a mascot today. Nisha says, The Truman Show was such a good movie, although an older one, it made me question my entire life, which is very fair. Lee Jun is back to say, many people hated Ghostbusters 2016, but I really enjoyed it because it featured all female leads. Maybe the haters were misogynist. Hotel Mumbai featuring Dev Patel, I enjoyed it because no white American hero rescuing hostages. It's hotel workers versus terrorists.
I will never stop stumping for the 2016 Ghostbusters. I love it actually, so same much. Here.
Yeah, same.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I don't understand why people hated it so much. Yes. Because it's a reimagination. It's not supposed to be it's not meant to be part of the actual canon of the Ghostbusters.
And it's so much better than the most recent one that came out.
Yes. No, I mean,
well,
honestly.
I like Afterlife as well. But
oh, Michael. We were doing so
we
well.
I'm just a Ghostbusters fanboy. Sorry.
Let's see. Kenling says, I happened to watch RRR on Netflix because it was mentioned in passing in the Honest trailer for Ms. Marvel. Does this count as word of mouth? I don't think so. I think that's just good marketing.
Word of video, perhaps. Yeah. Honest trailer may not have been paid.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But also, I mean, in case we haven't said it enough yet, watch RRR. It's great. Lynn says, for comedy parody, I would recommend Galaxy Quest by Grabthar's Hammer. What a savings.
Yes. Oh, that's a great pick.
I love Galaxy Quest. I will never stop talking about it. It's great. Anonymous says, following a recommendation or giving recommendation is always about having the same taste and likes. I recently got a lot from my like-minded boys to watch The Boys, so I'm definitely watching that soon. Sometimes I also recommend YouTube channels or podcasts like Comics Explained YouTube for my fellow nerds and geeks, and definitely The Big Bang Theory for this group, or The Story of Pony and Selvin from Kadai Podcast. Am I saying that right?
Kadai Podcast.
On YouTube or Spotify for my Tamil friends, since the movie is coming out soon. Also, has anyone watched Jason Momoa's Sea on Apple TV?
It keeps popping up on my suggested list and I haven't. The Pony and Selvin recommendation I'm definitely going to take because I'm very excited about the movie and I've just started reading the book.
There have been a lot of Apple TV shows that have been getting a lot of good word of mouth. Mm. Severance, C, even what was the last one that came up? The one with Tom Hiddleston?
Yes. Essex Serpent.
Oh, yes. I've been meaning Serpent. To watch that one.
There's so many recommendations from Apple TV, so I really have to catch up on that as well.
Darren says, the one-shot masterpiece, 1917. Everyone said that the whole movie can be seen like a single take, hence I went to watch it. Totally recommend. Also, A Quiet Place. That's a good one. Cinema, also so quiet, you feel bad for biting on the popcorn, which I missed out on Quiet Place in the cinema, so I'm a bit sad about that.
Same. I feel like that's one thing I wish I would have caught in the cinema.
By the way, all due credit to our producer, Kelly, who has found the show and has therefore redeemed me from insanity or from sounding completely
like
bats.
You imagined the show.
Yes, it's called Wonderfalls.
Still don't know, but at least we know it's real.
Now you can Google it, is my point. We have a title that can be Googled. I'm not nuts. Okay, we're just winding down and we have this message from Jesper, who's making, who has, as always, a very large list of very good recommendations, but also some thoughts. Jesper says, some of these word-of-mouth movies were recommended by friends, relatives, journalists, Laserdiscs, VCD and DVD sellers, and some I recommend to others. In the case of the Spice Girls, Mariah Carey, Jennifer Lopez, Madonna, Britney Spears, Halle Berry, and Tom Hooper. What a group. Bad publicity can be good. I think that's Cats. In the cases where the movies got banned, it made me even more curious to watch them. And then just a number of interesting ones, some of which have not come up, including The Exorcist, A Star is Born, there was Coal Miner's Daughter, a great movie about Loretta Lynn that I watched after hearing from folks how good Sissy Spacek is in the role. A Cry in the Dark, my personal favourite, especially when I meet my Aussie relatives and friends. I ask them whether they've watched the movie and everyone remembers The Dingo's Got My Baby and the fabulous performance by Meryl Streep. There's The Bodyguard with a mention of both Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner. The Crucible, again, about the performance of Joan Allen. And, Striptease. Back in the day, it was highly recommended to rent the Laserdisc in order to watch the movie, and it was hard to rent because someone else who was renting it held on to it for a very long time.
You know, I love that shout out to VCD and DVD sellers.
Who LD.
LD, okay. LD is a little much for me, lah. But I was going to say that if you find a DVD seller who's a good movie recommender, and I had a few, oh, those were worth their weight in gold. Because they would be like, have you seen the new Christian Bale movie? Have you seen this TV series that's about a serial killer that works for a police department? So many shows were introduced to me through like DVD sellers who had good taste in film.
We shall not talk about whether they were legal or illegal DVD sellers.
I mean,
the taste is legal.
The taste.
The good taste. They came by honestly. So there is that.
But does being a blockbuster discount a movie from being a word of mouth movie? Because there are so many Marvel shows nowadays that people are just saying, oh, it's just another super movie, Hugo movie. And a lot of people are not watching the Disney Plus shows because they say, it's just another superhero show. But they are so good that I have to recommend them. And does that count as word of mouth as well? Because it's such big publicity anyway.
I think something like Miss Marvel could do with word of mouth.
I think Eternals.
Eternals could do with word of mouth, right? Because again, it's a very crowded space. And so I think...
Moon Knight.
I don't think like the newest Doctor Strange movie needs word of mouth. You know what I mean?
No. And if anything, the word of mouth on that one is not the best.
It almost hurt it rather than helped it.
Yeah, so maybe not so much. Okay, so we've been talking today about recommendations or word of mouth films, right? The stuff that people tell you you have to watch and that you in turn go on and tell people, hey, you have to watch this. Keep them coming. We continue to read stuff long after we've gone off the air. So you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Write to us at movies@bfm.my. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me again.
So playing us out, we have got kind of a classic of this type because critics really hated it and no one thought it was going to have a long cinematic run. And then word of mouth spread and it was in the cinemas and this song played in a never-ending loop forever. So here is a little bit of The Greatest Showman.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.